What do Brussels sprouts have to do with Christmas?
How to age wine faster.
What does the color of underwear have to do with men's choices of underwear?
And can diet decrease the risk of having a cold?
That's what we're talking about this week on PodMed, the weekly look at the medical headlines from Johns Hopkins. Posted on December 23rd, 2016, I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang, professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins and president of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso, where I'm also dean of the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine.
Rick, this is our annual fun recording for this week. And so, gosh, there's just so many interesting things. One of them, since so many men are busy scurrying around looking for Christmas presents, why don't we turn to the color of underwear and men's underwear choices? I'm letting you serve up the journal names this week because I don't know them all.
Okay, Elizabeth, as you describe, at this time of the year, we do pick research articles, but they have a little bit of a funny twist. And these are four journals we've never reported on before. This one is the Australasian Marketing Journal, and I would have called it the study of tighty whities. Let me describe. The primary goal of this research was to detect the changes in the EEG recordings in the brain as men and women were presented with different options of selecting underwear. Now you might say, well, how do you select underwear? Is it the feel or the size? Well, these authors suggested that in fact the color may play a prominent role. So they took 20 underwear buyers. They were asked to evaluate several underwear colors, red, white, blue, brown, gray, and black. By the way, there are pictures of all these underwears in the article, so you're going to want to put this one on the blog. And they measured the EEG recordings from different areas of the brain to see, was there some correlation between the EEG findings, the various colors, and the consumer's choices? Well, in short, pun intended, there was a correlation. Female consumers prefer underwear that has red color, and male consumers prefer underwear with white colors, hence tighty whities for the male.
Okay, I get that part, and that's very clever. But doesn't this have something to do with also the underwear choices men make when they go out and buy underwear for their female partners?
That's where the dangerous part comes in. Because if the women prefer red and the men prefer white, you open a Christmas present and you have a bunch of white underwear, the man's going to feel like he's done a good job. The woman, very disappointed. This is something that I think the men listening to the podcast need to be aware of this Christmas. And by the way, there's still time to go and exchange the gifts to get the right color if you need to.
That's right. Go out there and get that red underwear, guys. That's the important take home. From here then, why don't we turn to one that actually I'm quite interested in, the one that I served up about what do Brussels sprouts have to do with Christmas. I actually am quite fond of Brussels sprouts, and I know other people aren't. What in the world's going on with this study?
All right, so Elizabeth, this is our first foray into the journal Scientia Horticultura. So here's the issue. As green vegetables become old or senescent, they change color. They become yellow, which obviously makes the vegetable less appealing. And it's a sign that actually the chlorophyll, the green color, is broken down. Is there a better way to store them so they become less senescent? So these investigators took Brussels sprouts, stored them in the routine manner, that is, put them in a refrigerator, about 22 degrees for 10 days. And on half of the Brussels sprouts examined, they were kept in the cold and in the dark. The other half, they shined a white-blue light on. Now the white-blue light has just the right type of intensity to prevent chlorophyll breakdown. And voila, those exposed to the white-blue light, they had a more vibrant green color and less of a yellow color.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? That works really well with the Christmas theme, too. I see a lot of white and blue lights out there for decoration. Should people put their Brussels sprouts outside so that they look green for Christmas?
Well, Elizabeth, I think there are two takes. One is I think that for all the homes that are decorated in white lights and all the Christmas trees, you could surround them with Brussels sprouts. That's the first take-home message. The second is there are many of us, probably half of us in the United States, that really don't care about Brussels sprouts. And we'd prefer to put them in the dark, cold storage and let them turn yellow. So whatever the take-home message is, I think there's something for everybody here.
Okay. Speaking of something for everyone, at least this is also a proclivity of mine, what about aging wine?
I was particularly interested in this one. As we know, wine, like most of us, matures with age. And the best wine are those that have been around for many years. But it's really oh, disheartening to buy a wine that you know is going to be very good, but you know you shouldn't drink it for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or perhaps 10 years. So is there a way to accelerate the aging process in the wine so that it would age faster than, for example, us? So these investigators took a high-quality brandy and developed a system where they could circulate it over oak chips, because it's normally stored in oak cast, and then expose it to ultrasound. Remember, ultrasound uses sonic waves to make bubbles burst. What they were able to show is they could, in fact, age brandy much faster and have it just as tasty. Why did I pick this particular article? Here's why I like this. To do this, they had to do 8 experiments of aging performed over about a 1-week period. Now, for all our listeners out there, if they're going to engage in this type of research in the future, please call me, because this is the kind of experiment that I personally would like to be involved with. That is, performing 7 or 8 experiments with wine over a week or two and testing it and reporting it. Sounds like an ideal thing for a researcher.
It sounds like an ideal thing for you, since you're so fond of wine and quite a collector. But I have to point out, of course, that this study did not address wine, it addressed brandy. So I wonder if there's something that's different with regard to these two forms of alcoholic beverage that would constrain the wine.
Au contraire, my friend. They applied this aging method to 5 varietal spirits. So again, taking a preliminary finding and extending it to a larger study, my hat's off to these researchers.
All right. Finally, then, let us turn to something that many people are not thinking about this week, and I think over the holidays, their diet, or they are thinking about it and saying, hey, I'm going to give myself a pass, at least for the next 10 days. What about the Mediterranean diet?
This was reported in Allerholia et Immunopathologia. Wow. This study came from Ciudad Real, Spain, or the real city. So it's got to be a real study. They assumed or hypothesized that different diets contributed to inflammatory states, and that kids, even as young as 1 to 5 years of age, if fed a Mediterranean diet, could perhaps decrease the risk of having things like a common cold or ear infections, the things that kids get. So they took 63 girls and 65 boys aged 1 to 5 years old. They estimated how many times they had a cold before institution of the Mediterranean diet, and then for a year, they fed them the Mediterranean diet. And after the end of that year, they reported there was a marked decrease in the incidence of colds, a marked decrease in antibiotic use, and in presenting to the hospital. And here's what I want to highlight, the satisfaction of the families was very high. Now, this is a study where I think it's important to read between the lines. So I asked myself, did they actually administer the Mediterranean diet properly to the kids? And there were some aspects they did. They had high intake of fresh fruits and vegetables and nuts and moderation in dairy products and in pastas. But here's what I found out. The kids were not given a glass of wine per day. So I can only surmise that, in fact, it was the parents who drank the glass of wine. Hence, the satisfaction of the families was very high. The kids ate the fruits and vegetables. The parents got the wine. In the end, the parents were very happy.
A win-win all around. And who knows, you know? I mean, in other cultures, they do introduce wine and demystify it, I would have to say, for their families a lot earlier than we do.
So, in fact, the kids may have had fewer colds. The parents had a better attitude. Hence, it was a wonderful Christmas for the entire family.
Excellent. Hey, did we mention the journal that the wine aging study was in?
Elizabeth, I'm glad you brought this to my mind. I was so enthused about the study. I forgot to mention that the wine article appeared in Ultrasonics Sonochemistry. It should be in everybody's stocking this Christmas.
On that note, then, I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas. You've already identified what it is I'm going to chat about on the blog. And to all of our listeners, the same. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang. Y'all live well and wear colorful underwear. Merry Christmas.